Hello, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Chris Gavin.
Eric Siska.
Steven Zeta.
And we hate movies. Everyone, welcome to We Hate Movies on the Sideshow Network. Thank you for tuning in. As always, we continue the summer blockbuster extravaganza with a little film from 1994, directed by some person named Jonathan Prince. It's, of course, the camp classic, Camp Nowhere.
Welcome to the 90s, everybody.
Oh, big time 90s movie.
Yeah, get ready for your wardrobes. All over the place. Tie-dye.
Your wardrobes, your soundtracks, your haircuts.
It was a bona fide decade. It was a period of time.
It's a culture.
This kid's mullet is out of control.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's ridiculous. And he's, what's the show that he's on?
He's now on Nashville. He used to be on All My Children, I want to say.
Yeah, he's won several prestigious soap opera awards.
Top shelf. Yeah, I mean, the daytime Emmy is the...
They are a soap opera awards.
It's
they're not
the Oscar
daytime
of
Emmys.
Soap operas.
So also, of course, the big star of this movie is Christopher Lloyd, man. This is sad.
It was weird he got relegated to, like, a kiddie actor kind of a guy.
Right, know? He was in those Dennis the Menace movies, or one of them at least.
He might have been. Yeah,
he was the villain. He was in the villain in the first one.
Oh, wow, I forgot that.
Downright
he plays
creepy.
Like a dangerous hobo who kidnaps him at the end.
Yeah,
right. Oh, yeah. The homeless guy. Oh, that's Christopher Lloyd?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I don't remember. I haven't seen that movie since I, like, rented it.
He was might in be a stay tuned.
All of those somethings, Angels in the Somewhere...
Angels in the Outfield.
Was he in Angels in the End Zone?
I think he might have been.
Oh, man, that stinks.
But they didn't get Donald Glover back for that one. Or Danny Glover, sorry.
Danny Glover. Not Donald Glover. Donald Glover enjoys watching Angels in the Outfield.
And then he was in Angels in the Restroom.
Angels in the DeLorean. You want to travel through time, kid? He's in Suburban Commando.
Yep, another kitty movie. My favorite Martian as well.
Mm. Yeah.
Nobody saw that one, right?
No one's ever seen that movie.
It's him and Jeff Daniels?
Yes.
That's rumored to be a movie. Like, I think. Yeah.
No one has seen it.
No one's ever seen it.
It's like a thing of legend.
The Day the Clown Cried and My Favorite Martian, the motion picture.
That's right.
I always used to mix up My Favorite Martian with that horrendous Gary Shandling movie, What Planet Are You From?
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, Hail Hydra. Him in that movie. Good God.
Oh, God, yeah. He had, like, a romantic interest in everything.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, no, big time. So this is, of course, your classic, like, 90s kids shenanigans movie where people would be going to jail left and right,
yep.
A la House Arrest.
But kid power. We all believe in kid power.
It's the Nickelodeon generation, man.
It's a smart move, though. You know, it's the summer.
Right.
You got to get your kid audience because those kids will be dragging their parents and stuff. And if it's PG, they don't even need to drag their parents. Here's $8. Go talk to you later.
Yeah.
That's for your ticket and like six sodas because it's 1994.
I was going to say, I remember this is like the old man sounding thing, but you'd go to the mall with a $5 bill, $4.75 for the matinee ticket and the quarter to use the payphone to call for a ride.
Yeah.
Yep. $5 bill. That's all you needed to go to the movies and procure a ride home.
And if you lose that quarter, you're walking home.
They used to let us walk home in those days.
Right now,
before the invention of child molesters.
Right. You can't allow a kid to walk anymore.
No, not anymore.
The police get called. Yeah. I've heard about this.
I will say that before the invention of child molesters is a great place to start in this movie. Because that's where this movie takes place, right? Like, obviously, molestation.
This is the genesis of it, I think.
But, like... It's before people were super worried about their kids getting molested, which this
because
situation
it's pre-internet, so it was different.
This situation is so fucking creepy.
Yeah.
Christopher Lloyd plays a degenerate, like, marginal person who lives in a shack, a marginal first.
Well, it's a trailer, actually.
A trailer.
By what looks like some sort of power plant, though. There's like smokestacks behind it.
He just got fired. Like, he's got nothing going on.
He's a fired high school drama teacher, I believe, is the profession.
With nothing to lose.
And the circumstances of his firing, we have no idea.
It's
the movie
never
just
revealed.
Says, nope. Yo, nobody's business.
You know what? Listen.
Those files are sealed. But so he's this guy, Jonathan Jackson's your Macaulay-esque figure in this movie.
Yeah, the mullet's a lot longer than Macaulay's little bowl cut, though.
And they decide to open up a summer camp and have this guy who they could just pay be like the only adult supervision.
The MC of this thing.
Yeah. Well, which, this is what I don't understand.
And the fact that he's like, great idea, I want to spend the whole summer with a bunch of kids.
Well, it's great. It speaks to the inner Ted Kaczynski in this guy, because... Once they get there, like, the whole thing is like, okay, I'm going to go camp down by the lake alone. You kids have fun. So he's like, I'm going to go out even further to the fringes of society.
Yep. Build my mail bombs. get that school back.
You kids have a lot of fun this summer. I have a lot of letters to write.
You know, I haven't built a bunker yet. I could get on that bunker I've always wanted to make.
I'm running for president because I'm crazy. Take my flyers.
Now, I never understand the world in this movie in where each kid in a group of friends is bummed out that they're going to a different themed summer camp.
No.
Like, in one circle of friends, it's like military camp, fat camp, computer camp, whatever camp. I didn't know a single person that went to camp.
I knew what, but that's the thing is you would know one. Mud, Jonathan Jackson, he would be going to the camp. All the rest of them are staying home.
Yeah, like, what is the probability of all these children going to summer camp like this?
Well, that's the weird thing, too, about this whole movie, the world of this movie, is everybody's rich.
Oh, big
Because,
time.
Like, thousands of dollars are being spent on summer camp.
Yep.
Right, and no one's batting an eye. And, like, when the parents find out that they've been duped and lost all this money, they're all like, oh, well.
Well, it would have gone to a legitimate camp anyway, and none of the kids are dead, so it's the same thing.
But yeah, everybody's rich. So here comes Christopher Lloyd. He's got a good long con going on here.
Oh, man. So he's like basically duping one parent group at a time by going like, so it's like the kid Andrew Keegan, you know, recently seen in that cult he formed.
What is this cult about?
Andrew Keegan's cult?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of
like a hipster religion. Like, it just kind of looks like they're not hippies.
It's all just about being good to everybody, man.
But they all have, like, the hipster hat.
Wait,
like
who do they hail? Satan or Christ?
Andrew Keegan.
Yeah.
Andrew Keegan.
Oh, okay.
The son. I don't know.
He's got some weird cult.
All right. So he's going to go to, like, military school. So Christopher Lloyd is dressed up like this army commando and putting on the whole, like, Arlie Ermey routine of, you know, he's a drill sergeant or... You know, trust me, your boy's going to work hard at this camp or whatever it is.
Well, he's got a real John Bender situation from The Breakfast Club because this dad is fucking ready to fucking hit somebody. Smoke up, Johnny.
Well, because he does the whole thing in the scene. He's like, stand up. Like, Andrew Keegan is fiddling with this I don't even know what.
It looks like a Game Boy or like a pocket radio or something.
And like he's like, stand up when somebody's in the room.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And he's like, no, I don't want to. And I'm like, man, later tonight, it's the belt and it's in the basement.
You got a real Chris Cooper dad, which is the problem. You never want a Chris Cooper dad.
No, that's true.
Weeping over a Nazi plate.
You touched it.
So then our main character, whose name is Mud, he's going to go to computer camp.
Why is he called Mud?
His name's like Morris. So yes. It's like, oh, that's lame. Mud's cool.
Okay.
I guess so.
Maybe.
Dirt. I'm dirt.
Worked for Primus, right?
Yes, that's true. So his dad is the unsuccessful half of the great 80s duo of Tom Hanks and Peter Scolari. Peter Scolari.
Also just shortened to Peter Scolari.
Tom Hanks' B side, you mean?
Yeah. Oh, no. The B side bosom buddy, Peter Scolari. And he is this, like, Thomas Lennon character wearing this sweater with a mustache, Who did we say he looks like?
He's got the Cosby sweater. That's a big thing.
Yeah, he reminded me a little of like a Bruce McCullen character.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're totally right. And so, yeah. So then Christopher Lloyd has to put on. He's like, I'm Bill Wozniak from this computer camp.
Oh no,
Jesus!
No. And this is Jonathan Jackson's idea was that he's the ringleader of them all, right?
Yeah.
Yes, he's.
So. Whatever. Long story short, it's like he pretends he's the director of a drama camp, the director of a this kind of fat camp is another
can
one.
Can we stop and talk about the fucking fat camp in this movie?
Yeah, sure. Because this is ridiculous.
They're four kids, Andrew Keegan, Jonathan Jackson, and two girls whose name I don't know because I didn't really do a whole bunch else.
It's almost as if this is the group of friends from the end of House Arrest.
Yes.
Where it's like, the bully and the nerdy boy and the popular girl, they're all like now best buds because this is all walks of life are best buds at the start of this movie.
And the girl, the fourth girl who is the fat girl because she has to go to the fat camp is like the skinniest girl you've ever seen. And like they put her in like a bunch of sweaters and everyone's like, stop eating. Why are you eating so much? And like no one like chastises her for being fat in the movie except for her parents.
Yes.
It's a weird situation.
And she is really thin. She's right.
Incredibly thin. It's a dangerous image to put on screen.
But it's a weird thing, too, because later in the movie, when they fake Parents Day, like the girl has the sweatshirt off tied around her waist, and the mother's like, you've lost so much weight. And it's like, are you really that clueless about the physical appearance of your child that you were duped by a baggy sweatshirt?
Honestly, I just got a new wardrobe. I don't know what the fuck's
your
problem.
I don't know where to... BUM sweater.
Man, BUM gear. That was a hot thing in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Everybody had it. Some fanny packs even?
Yeah, if you want to. Any kind of... Just put some leather on any kind of fabric. A sweater with a little leather shoulder pad? Sure, why not? BUM equipment. What the fuck? Who cares? I'll put leather on anything. BUM equipment.
Want leather on your sweatpants? Bum can do that.
It was a great time to be alive.
Oh, dude, a leather Velcro wallet? Come on.
Yeah, dude.
BUM made it. So we're at this camp that we rent the property from, what's his name?
Burgess Meredith.
Burgess Meredith. I almost said...
The Penguin?
No, Lloyd Bridges.
Oh, wow. Both gone.
Yes,
Jack Warden, throw him in.
Yeah, he's also dead. Yes, a lot of
the same kind of person.
Walter Matthau. Yeah.
All right, let's not fill up the pit too much. Let's say our respects and move along.
Burgess Meredith is great. I don't even. He didn't know what this movie was, nor like he read his page and was gone.
He's like, oh, what's that? Planes fly over in this scene. Okay, great. It's like a war picture.
Well, I do kind of think that it was a. Managers, like the manager's like, look, Birch, all you gotta do is read this paragraph. Read this paragraph, you're in and out, $50,000 in your pocket.
You think Burgess Meredith made $50,000 on Camp Nowhere?
Maybe.
More than that.
Really?
Yeah, he's a name, man.
But it's 1994.
It is one scene.
Yeah, I mean, maybe like 60. You're probably right. 50's fair.
50, I think he's exactly. I think it's about $50,000. And he was like, what do I have to do?
You got to wake up, Purge.
Can I have my cigar in my mouth the entire time? Perfect.
Can I be watching TV while I do it?
The problem with this movie is it never devolves into any kind of Lord of the Flies situation.
It's on the cusp. It's really right there.
Yeah, it's right about to boil over.
I mean, you should feel that, but the movie doesn't make you feel that. There's no real moment where you're like, these kids, like something's going to blow.
No consequences really either.
Yeah. We should do like a new edit of the film where we like take out the soundtrack and make it really chilling. Because I feel like that would help.
You know, you get the soundtrack from It Follows. You lay it over that. You're all good.
So here's the other part of this. So M. Emmett Walsh is hot on the trail. Like they find Jonathan Jackson finds Christopher Lloyd in a mall.
Right.
Displaying spray cheese, which never happened ever. And it's a 90s
spray cheese from like a storefront.
Yes.
In the mall that exclusively sells spray cheese.
It's an anchovy situation.
Yeah, well, it's like it must be a specialty food store because not only does he have
this spray cheese. He has a huge fish.
Well,
an actual fish.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
And he's just like playing with its mouth. It's gross. It's disgusting.
They loved that gag too, because it's in the trailer. It was on like the back of the VHS box. Because isn't it hilarious? He's manipulating a dead fish like a puppet.
I will say about spray cheese, if you've noticed, the this takes place in Pennsylvania.
Oh, does it?
So maybe it's...
Bigger numbers out there, you think?
Well, near Philly, they use that on their...
Oh, that's true. Their
homegrown,
world-famous cheese steaks.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Tapped from cheese trees.
But he sees this degenerate, like, putting on a good performance, and he gets this idea, and he tracks him down. He's this disgraced drama teacher living in this trailer, and right when he goes to pitch him, like, hey, man, my parents are going to give me... are going to pay $3,000 to send me to summer camp.
$3,000.
And all four of us, that's $12,000. We'll give you $1,000 to live off the summer. Bing, bang, boom. That's more than you'll make selling spread cheese.
But $1,000
yeah.
to risk his entire life. Because yeah. one false step and you're in jail.
Yeah, no, this is, you're in some hot soup.
And we're talking 8 weeks? It's like $200 a week, not you, even.
No, no, $10,000 for that kind of heat.
Yes, yeah.
Exactly. That, now we're talking. You kids can have two to buy your Nerf gun.
What?
Video game.
What, 1994? Yeah. $1,000, that's what, 7,000 now?
I think yeah. so. Something like
1,500-ish.
That.
1,500-ish.
Yeah, I mean, but that's not
I don't know, man. Like, you could do serious time for this.
Oh, yeah, you're... I mean, you're...
Depending upon which way the wind blows, this is kidnapping.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's a big problem.
Yeah, if the kids all turn on you, you're done.
Exactly. I don't trust any of these kids, especially little crafty Jonathan Jackson,
who's the engineer this whole thing of this up, whole thing. Yeah.
But so he's like laying this line on Christopher Lloyd, and then M. Emmett Walsh comes up, and Christopher Lloyd puts on a disguise.
It's fake teeth, which is disgusting.
It's kind of like a Bookman from Seinfeld, like he's... collect, but it's actually like, again, kind of like larceny because he took this gremlin from 1982 and never made payments on it.
Right.
And he's a collections agent. He's like, oh, I got one more ride before they retire me and I want a perfect record.
Oh, man. How stupid is that?
Why do we need this type of character in this movie? This is your hint of danger, by the way. It's
the hint of danger,
tail.
But it yeah. doesn't...
You ever see Blood Simple? I'll blow you away in a bathroom.
I don't stop coming. There is some sort of poetic beauty about the way I take a life. Frances McDormand thought she could get past me. She was wrong.
Just Emmett Walsh, like, walking through a lake and coming up the other end of it.
Is he dead?
Yes.
Yeah, yes.
Oh, that would be a great image, Steve, because then he'd go down to the lake, the hat would come off and float a little bit, and then hopefully he could pick up where it is, but I don't know.
He's not dead.
Oh, wow.
Apologize.
He's only 80 years old.
Good wow. Thing.
Still going.
That's great news.
He was on Empire.
Real?
Scorpion King 4.
Note to self, watch Empire.
I watched like the first two or three episodes. It's good.
Yeah, it's good.
So yeah, I mean, we're setting up this camp, and it's a lot of like. First, we get there, and it's the same thing with any of these kids' camps. Like at first, it's like, what are we gonna do with ourselves? So we're like jumping off the roof onto a pile of soiled mattresses.
We're blasting fishbone as hard as we can.
Absolutely. Which these children aren't listening to fishbone,
nor should anyone.
And, you know, we're doing things like playing with fireworks. And actually, like, right at the start of this whole experience is when reality does kind of set in pretty quick for these kids. Because our main man, Mud, is going, they're all going, like, down this ramp with firecrackers and whatever and jumping into the lake with them. And he's on, like, rollerblades and he's got, like, a Chinese lantern on his head. And we're going down this ramp and he falls in, like, burns himself and yeah. breaks his wrist or whatever.
Meanwhile, Christopher Lloyd is carving every president's bust out of fucking marble or whatever he's doing in this fucking shack.
Separating jelly beans, by the way.
Oh, right. That's one of his hobbies. Also, dancing naked to Goodbye Horses. That's another one. So Christopher Lloyd has to take this kid to a doctor. And at first they're acting like it's a mafia movie. He's like, no doctors! No doctors! I'll be fine! No doctors!
Just take me to Jeremy Piven.
I'm gonna fucking die, Larry!
You're gonna be fine! Are you a doctor? Are you a doctor?
Say the fucking words, Marty.
You're going to be okay.
So he takes him to a doctor.
Yes.
And it's the woman who plays like the mousy nun in the Sister Act movies.
Who's actually really good looking, but by movie standards, she's quote unquote gettable by Christopher Lloyd, yes. Which is horseshit.
Yeah, that's some shitty movie math that they're doing. Some Hollywood movie math.
I'm going to get her, Marty. Chase her through time, but I'll get her. Play a part, Marty. Play a part.
Well, that's the thing. Very quickly, he's like, oh, that's a sexy lady, Mud. You better be, you know what a wingman is?
And
all the heat I'm doing for you for a grad, you could do me a couple of favors, is all I'm saying. Look, Mud, I only have so many Churchill tapes. You have to do something somehow.
That is a weird thing. He listens to, like, CDs of Winston Churchill albums?
He's a legitimate maniac.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. He's an untethered lunatic.
It's true.
Staying down by the lake in a shanty.
I guarantee you, whatever Social Security card is in his wallet is not his own.
Oh, no. That's what I was saying. How many identities has this guy had? It's at least like 5.
Yes.
I think 5 is a safe amount of false identities.
Yeah, good John had. Draper.
Yeah.
I burned the name Dennis at that school. Now I got to start over. Stop asking me where I got fired from your school.
So he takes him to the doctor, and now it starts the next weird layer of awkwardness in this movie,
yeah.
Which is, now you're going to pretend to be my boy, so I can impress this woman and have sex with her. Don't worry, I haven't thought of an end game for any of this. Because that's, right? It's like, they're going to fall in love, and then when the summer's over, it's like, by the way, that's not my kid.
I bet he has a whole plan. I actually think he does have the whole thing planned out. Like,
kill him off?
Oh, he went to live with his mother. No.
Turns out the court says I can't see him ever again.
Weird.
Well, anyway, let's start our own life together as if he never existed.
I can move in, right?
Oh, yeah, he's asking to move in with her pretty quick.
Got a good Chinese place around here? Your laundry situation. In-house or am I walking? I haven't said that word in 12 years.
So there's about 20 kids. Each kid gave roughly $3,000 a pop, let's say.
Right.
Yes.
$60,000. Well, that's the other part of this. I'm sorry. We're a little all over the place today. One of the fifth person in the movie is the African-American kid because everybody else is white except for him.
Oh, big time. This is a whitewashed fucking summer camp.
And he... It's exactly the scene in Cocoon because he comes to the house right before they're about to leave for the summer camp. He's like, I know what you guys got going on. I don't want to go to camp either. It sucks. And they're like, yeah, but you can't go. And he's like, why? And they're like, no reason.
And he's like, it's a secret.
And he's like, you know, if you let me go, I won't tell on you. And all this stuff. It's exactly that scene in Cocoon.
Right.
When the guy does the same thing.
And then he goes and tells everybody. And there's like this huge group of kids. And again... I'm sitting there like, how is it that this many kids from this town are going to camp?
No.
I just didn't grow up with this. It's so weird. So much summer camp.
Well, it's in sleepaway camp specifically.
Yes, there was a lot of like go someplace for the day.
Yeah.
You, like you met at the middle school and a bus took you somewhere.
You go
and
to
then
the pool
you came
for
back.
The day.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Some
it's
horseshit
absolutely
thing.
Fine.
But yeah, this like camp on Awana nonsense. You didn't see it where we come from.
No.
And it's very weird.
Yeah, no one in this room is part of the 1%.
No. That's the other thing. Who can fucking afford it, summer camp?
$3,000.
$3,000 a pop? That's the thing. So he's got a fucking... He's got a Pauly Walnuts envelope with $60,000 in it that he's carrying around this whole movie.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, what are we going to do with this movie? And then cue fucking Fishbone... And
yes.
All of this like kid crap shows up, like guitars and
but like this is all from like hundreds of like Circuit City I saw
truckloads
and like
of
Penske
everything.
And like
they get a 60-inch television set.
How are you like you're paying for all of this in cash?
Cash on delivery, man.
That is fucking weird.
Yes.
I mean, it was the early 90s, dude. You still could kind of get away with doing stuff like that.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I feel like more than one of those truckers at the end are like, what just happened here? Let's compare notes. A little kid gave you the money for this, right? There wasn't an adult there?
Yeah. Oh, and he did he pull it out of his sock? Oh, he did? Oh, okay. Just to be sure. And now, everybody. You didn't see a single adult, right?
No.
Oh, there was that weird lean guy down by the lake. I think he was making a person out of hair.
He kept on rolling the barrel of that gun and then putting it to his temple. I don't know what was going on there.
So he's clean.
Yeah, so I guess summer camp checks out.
Enter Thomas Wilson, a.k.a. Biff Tannen.
Isn't it F. Thomas Wilson sometimes?
No. I thought it was always Thomas F. Wilson.
Thomas F. Wilson. In this movie, it's Tom Wilson.
It's just Tom. Like, you know, after the Back to the Future movies, he decided to get a little casual with his name.
Yeah.
So he is like this state trooper who's on the trail of nothing.
He's sleeping at a park bench.
Yeah, he's a country bumpkin, man. Through and through. This guy can't find anything.
He's like just sitting at this fucking like picnic table reading Ulysses and fucking eating a ham sandwich every day. It doesn't seem like he does much of anything.
But it's one of those, like, he goes and sort of inspects the situation. And again, it's like, now remember, you're my boy. And it's just like, okay,
we don't have any permits for camp.
Yeah, me and Dad just living in these woods together. And he's like, well, sort of looks like there's about 20 children that live on this property. No, just me and my boy.
We're messy. Get out of here. Me and my mud.
They get all the kids to hide up in the rafters or something?
Yes. Yeah, which you're getting found out. That's really stupid.
Also, just fucking tell them to go out into the woods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, why have it in the house?
Scatter. Yeah. Scatter into the forest, children.
Go, 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 go.
Well, that's it. They have a bunch of walkie-talkies on this compound. We need some codes. We need scatter. We need to know what fireball means.
Sure.
And we need to know what endgame is. That's when we break out the punch.
But so, I mean, getting into back to this doctor thing again and adding to his laundry list of charges. Now this is a thing where you've gone and seen a doctor. Yep. This is, you're somehow worked into the healthcare system. Like, now fraud's on the table.
Yep, big time.
Grand larceny, child kidnapping, fraud, you know, child endangerment is on that list.
Kidnapping possibly.
Oh, no.
Depending on where it lands.
Sure, yeah. You know, and I'm sure there's other stuff once they finally uncover everything.
I assume some kind of
everything. Oh, yeah. Once they get into Lloyd's, like, trunk that he keeps with him, whatever's in there.
Yeah, exactly. Also, you know, once they inspect the children.
Oh, just in general?
Yeah, just
interview them.
Yeah, well, you know, signs of
abuse,
yes.
Right? Yeah, or if you're malnourished,
if you know what I mean,
or if you can just consider, because there is that scene they buy beer, and the beer does seem like it shows up at the camp, like there's no intermediary, so
they get it back to the camp.
So that's a whole fucking just litany of drunk kids.
The weird thing is, that's the thing, these kids are all obviously, because it's a movie, like super squeaky clean. They're like bad, but they're Zach Morris bad.
Yeah. They're also all talented in some way. That's a big thing.
You get 20 real kids on a camp without adult supervision, real shit's going down.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Kids are drinking. Kids are smoking.
Broken bones, right or left.
It's everybody's like 13-ish. Shit could happen.
Figuring stuff out.
Yeah,
yeah.
This is
middle school
happening.
Dance shit. Yep. Yeah, exactly.
En masse.
Yep.
That's the problem.
Middle school dance stuff could be happening. Look out.
Totally, dude.
Look out.
We're like dancing 2 feet apart to Jewel 1 second, and then you're under the bleachers the next second. That's all I'm saying.
And then you break a bone.
Then they close the bleachers on you, and all your bones are broken.
So Thomas Wilson's an idiot. After the beer, Andrew Keegan's the bad boy. And
oh, right. Sorry.
Because he wears a leather jacket sometimes and other...
And he's got the mean dad, so it makes him the bad boy.
Yeah, because, he's Bender, you know? And he's buying beer. I don't think they do get the beer back to camp. Or maybe they do.
You don't see them drink it, but Christopher Lloyd certainly helps them buy it.
They get out of the store with it.
They buy it. It's in the car. I don't know what's going on with this.
I mean, someone's drinking that beer. That's the thing, right? It's like, we might not like it, and we might not finish our whole can or whatever. People are getting into that beer. Mm-hmm. Because it's real kids being alone with no adult supervision.
Or
cracking it open.
Is Christopher Lloyd doing a thing where he's going to drink all like 15 bottles or something?
Oh, that could be. Just
to show you kids.
But he's like
the dangers of alcohol.
He's a weird, like, sort of homeless booze hound.
Well, they never show him drinking either.
Well, that's...
Someone drank that beer.
Well, that's the thing with this movie, right? Is he also, like, barely gets a relationship going with this woman.
Yeah.
Like, they do things like sit out on a log under the stars and talk nice to each other. And at the end of the movie, like... are driving off somewhere together. I think they're driving to a PG-13 movie so they can sleep with each other. Because, like, at no point do they kiss. They're not, like, hugging or anything. I mean, she's down with the whole, like, child kidnapping.
Oh, yeah, she's totally
when she
cool
finds out the scores, she's just like, you know you're going to get busted, right? And he's like, don't worry, baby. I won't go down for nobody.
You'll write me letters, right? You see that bridge over there? It's rigged to blow. No one gets in, no one gets out. We can we've got enough provisions to last 2 years. He's like, I am the new beginning. What? Nothing. Meet me in San Juanteneo. Long live the new flesh, Mud. Mud, do you hear me? Long live the new flesh.
Is that your camp director, Mud? Yeah, Dad, that's my camp. My computer camp director.
Oh, he's kooky.
He's a real kook.
So it's this whole thing now where, like, the parents are starting to make phone calls. Like, we sure would love to be able to visit our kids once this summer.
That, how do you let your kid go to a summer camp? Because they all get, like, bilked, right? They get... Christopher yeah. Lloyd comes in, a puff of smoke, says a bunch of bullshit, and then they give him $3,000.
They all get picked up in, like, the same school bus.
Yes.
Yes.
At no point, like, we don't
see... An unmarked school bus, by
yep.
the way.
And we don't see any, like, bye, have a great summer. Like, the parents aren't even present when these kids get picked up. It's like, you stand out on the sidewalk and wait for that camp to come get you.
Hey, did that... school bus have any license plates? Not that I remember.
Looked like all those windows were spray painted over. Well, said, gosh, that's weird, Mother.
Said Manson Forever on the side. Who do you think would do something like that?
Oh, don't mind the blood. I hit a deer on the way over here. Yeah, yeah, I hit a deer and it got right in the bus. Got all over the floor in the bus.
Had to hack it off with this, it's butcher knife.
It's all above board.
I mean, and what number can we reach you at?
I don't know. I mean, call this post office.
So somehow, like...
Well, they end up setting up, like, all different phone lines in this cabin.
Oh, that's right. Like,
and message machines for each supposed camp. Military camp, fat camp.
Computer camp, yeah, drama camp.
Dumb kid camp, the whole gamut.
But the dumb kid camp is funny because they don't come.
Yeah,
the parents don't come for the dumb kids.
Oh, yeah, why would they?
All the plebes. So we're getting all these phone calls. And, like, you have to imagine, like, if you're trying to set up this scheme, it's not like locking your parents in the basement.
Yeah.
Like, this is... Multiple families involved. There's a lot of high money involved. Like, people are going to be checking up on this investment.
The thing is, good thing is, Jonathan Jackson's got all the answers.
He pulls him out of that little mullet he's got.
Oh, my God. I mean, the scheme has costume changes and everything.
Well, so it basically comes down to, you know, all these parents are calling, like, isn't there a parents' day? We thought we'd come for a visit. And they announce, like, oh, okay. We're going to have, this is the dumbest idea ever. We're going to have all of the parents' days for each camp on the same day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And rotate kids' parents, like, through, you know, different styles of camp in one day.
You're right. It doesn't make sense. Why not do it? Take a week. Every day is a different day. You come Monday, you come Tuesday, you come Saturday.
But
done.
That's not a challenge. That's not quite dangerous enough.
Doesn't get my blood going, baby.
I need a thrill, Mud. Mud, you gotta come up with a scam that makes me tingle.
Oh, remember that scam we did back when you were 13? Because now these guys are too... They're both on the road at this point.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. When you came to me and said, 20 kids alone in the forest with me, that got me going.
I said, wow, that's a risk.
Making 20 families into rubes in one day.
It can be done, Mud.
Nobody believes me, but I'd go down and grift a legend.
I do kind of love the idea that they actually paid him, like, they wanted to give him like $20,000, and he piled it like the Joker and just took 1,000 out and set it on fire.
I want to watch the world burn, Mud.
Watch it burn, Mud. Dynamite is cheap, Mud. You got to learn, Mud, that this stuff is meaningless.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, that's the thing. And now we're getting into full-on Home Alone mode where...
Yep, well, it's the 90s and we're precocious kids.
So the idea is all these parents are going to come at once. We're going to schedule it by hour, I guess. And there's a bunch of, sure, like, fun little costume changes and signs that switch around and, like, little explosives that they procure from somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's what they ordered from that catalog of mischief.
Right, they were setting off fireworks earlier.
Yeah,
so
they bought
maybe...
fireworks because that's how Mud almost set himself on fire.
Right.
During that dock stunt.
You want fireworks, Mud? I can get you fireworks.
Homemade. Mud, you know I make my own cocaine. How does that tickle you and your friends?
Oh, no, that's the thing. It's all like,
yeah, cool summer camp. I can grow weed down here. You know, it's just like, yeah, fine. Just don't go down. Don't go down past that creek. You kids don't get to walk past beyond Jerry's cabin.
I don't know, Mud. This looks like a pretty good setup.
I might just stay here.
I could ride this one out.
Nice summer camp cover. Hey, Mud, you got any extra fluorescent light bulbs I could borrow from your fake summer camp?
Mud, some of it's missing. Some kids from the town have been going through my weed.
Find them and use this.
He hands him a gun.
We're now at war with the town.
Do you know what happens when the Libyans find out I'm light? The Libyans!
Mud, I'm going to need you to take the sheriff's station. I'll be coming around back with the AK-47.
Here, watch Rambo. Just do it like he does it.
Mud, I have to assure you, your life will never be the same after tonight. We're going to take this town under siege.
There's a dam not too far from here. We're going to break it down. We're going to drown that sheriff station.
That fat pig will drown tonight. See you later, Biff.
I've harvested the weed, Mud. We can let them all drown.
So, yeah, in the middle of the... So they're all getting ready. They're home-aloning it up. And at this around this time, the woman finds out, the doctor... finds out that he's been scamming these parents.
Yeah.
And she's right. She's got this, like, I love you, but I'm mad at you thing. Like, no, you've been on, like, 2 dates and likely haven't slept with this guy.
Yeah.
You're like, ew, and call the police.
Well, this scene drives me a little crazy because she's, like, it's clear, like, she was just on her way somewhere.
Yeah.
And she happened to look out the right side of her car and saw madness going on at this abandoned camp. And she's like, yeah, of course I'm going to call. Like, why wouldn't anybody else be like, the fuck is going on down there?
She's a pediatrician, too, right?
Yeah.
So, like, that's all the reason in the world to call the police.
Yeah, she knows when kids are in danger.
Mm-hmm. They're going apeshit all over that yard.
It's one of those, like, party down moments from movies like this where, like, there's someone on a water slide. There's
someone on the roof.
Going
Everybody's
on. Yeah.
Jumping off the roof.
Jumping off the
dirty
roof.
Ass mattresses.
Another way you can tell when kids are out of control in movies like this is when you're playing guitar outside. That's when, like, the guitar and the amp are set up outside, also possibly on a roof, and you're just playing it really loud. There's obviously not a parent around.
When there's a spear propped up with a pig's head through it.
Also that.
Yeah, it's weird.
But yeah, it's just like, oh, Christopher Lloyd, what are you up to?
She's like pissed. She's like, I'm not your girlfriend anymore. Bye. And it's like, no, you call the police.
Yeah, exactly right. And even if you're not going to call the police, you're like, you're ending whatever the situation is.
Yes.
You're like, we're bringing these kids home right now.
Yep.
This is shutting down.
Yeah, you're a nice enough guy. I guess you're not dangerous, but we are driving all these kids back immediately.
But instead, like, that happens. Nothing comes of it. And then there's even a later scene where Christopher Lloyd's taking them for a checkup.
By the way, in case you're wondering, that makes you an accomplice.
Yep.
Knowing that this is going on and being in a position to stop it. Accomplice. One of those kids dies, which is incredibly likely, by the way.
Yes.
You need is one diabetic kid that everyone forgets about, and then you're fucked.
So maybe he is pulling a Bill Paxton in True Lies, where he's like, oh, she wants a thrill. Give her a thrill. and he's just building up this life that she can have as his criminal accomplice on the run down to Mexico City.
So when Arnold finally confronts him at this camp, he's just going to wet himself.
Well, yeah, and I guess in this case, Arnold Schwarzenegger is B-side. That's what I'm going to call him.
It's Peter Scolari, but he is B-side.
Oh, yes, Peter Scolari.
He's the eternal B-side.
By the way, back again about this beer situation. Uh-huh. So it's like now is when the cracks in this camp are starting to show just a little bit because like everyone's getting a little too comfortable.
Uh-huh.
We're going into town on our own.
Yep.
Making our presence known kind of a thing. And this is so they're buying beer and Andrew Keegan like shows this ID and this teenager's like, "You're trying to tell me you were born in 1969?" You know, that kind of thing. But then here again, another opportunity for the police to get involved because this manager is like, you know, it's an arrestable offense, like using a fake ID in this state. You know, listen, call sheriff, whatever. This is getting settled right now. And he's like, oh, no, the excuse is I'm buying it for my dad who can't buy it himself because of his bum leg. And then it's Christopher Lloyd just standing 6 feet away in the store reading magazines. And it's like, you know, he comes over like, oh, beer, huh? And you can tell it's a thing where he's mad at the kids.
Oh, yeah.
But, but that's the thing. He gets them through it. If I'm Christopher Lloyd, I'm like, who are these kids? Never seen him before, officer. And just leaving.
Gets in the car and drives to Mexico.
You grab the little one with all the money. Oh, this one's my boy. We're gonna be gone.
Yeah, but you cannot. You're right. If that kid gets nabbed by the cops, you got to sever all ties and get the fuck out of there.
Well, no. This is how you do it. This is how you grift them right. Is when that happens, you get mud. You like get him close. Like, look, I can get you out of this, but I need like the rest of that money.
Exactly.
And then that's he gives you the money, and you turn around. I don't know who these people are.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
But I mean, this one. I mean, I've seen him around, but
it's a small town. I think these kids are coming in from that camp up on the hill.
You should check it out. Seems pretty dangerous.
Might want to bring in the FBI.
Then I want a sequel when they're like in their 20s hunting Christopher Lloyd in like the jungles of Costa Rica where
like
he's living.
A less upsetting Sleepers.
Yeah, just a much less upsetting Sleepers. Thankfully.
I was going to say, it's like The Hunted. He's just hanging out in the woods all the time.
That movie's kind of a snooze.
Oh, it's terrible.
The even worse one, though, it's a similar movie with Willem Dafoe.
Oh, The Clearing?
No, I know what you're talking about.
The Hunter?
Oh, The Hunter, yes.
Yeah. Whatever.
Another just puts you right down for a nap.
That's a Father's Day movie that everyone walks out on.
I haven't seen it yet, but honestly, I'm kind of intrigued.
It's somehow like that movie with George Clooney, The American, but more boring.
I like The American.
So did I, but it's more boring than that movie is.
Fair enough.
But with Willem Dafoe and there's like snow on the ground.
We got our Home Alone Parents Day set up, right?
And
first things first, military dad comes in. And here's the problem with all this stuff. I think the idea is the script that they have is set up a situation where we tell them that they're much later than they actually are. Create some sort of diversion that makes it seem that they have to leave immediately.
Right.
As opposed to just like, again, you do this in 5 days, you kind of set it up where, you know, it's a fine little summer camp. Okay,
well,
bye.
Yeah, well, I think the idea is like, if you do that, then like the cracks will start showing more if these parents can like hang around the military camp long.
Yeah.
You know, because maybe the other kids wouldn't fit into that idea of the camp.
Fat kids, you mean?
Yeah, like that fat girl. Oh my god.
There is a scene
This is where like they start, her and Mud start having a relationship or building one. Yeah.
They're like kid flirting, right?
Yeah.
And they're both, he gets made fun of or something because he's a little weenie. He's like really, really short. And she goes in to comfort him and she's like, you know, he's like, oh, everybody hates my guts. And she's like, whoa, relax.
And that might be true, but.
And he's like, yeah, you know, and she's like, you know, everybody likes you. And girls think you're really, really attractive, you know, kind of trying to get that going.
Sure. Yeah.
Angle that shit. And then he turns around and he's like, yeah, you know, once I'm older and I got that growth spurt, I'm totally going to be cool and date really cool people. And once you're older and you're not quite so lumpy, you'll get a good boyfriend. And I'm like, dude, what the fuck just happened in this movie?
It's insane. And he's not joking around here, folks.
No, he's being dead serious and thinks he's being like encouraging and sweet.
Yeah.
And it's fucking crazy. That this little stick is being called Lumpy. I mean, that anyone is being called Lumpy. But this is so fucking stupid.
It's both, it's maddening because of what they're doing to this girl and crazy because it's incredibly not accurate.
Yeah. but, and she just like takes it all like, oh, maybe you're right, Mud.
Yeah, you're sweet and cute and I like you, as opposed to being like, my whole life is ruined. We're like, fuck that kid. More accurately, fuck that kid and his stupid mullet. Hey, maybe one day you won't have a mullet and someone will want to fucking kiss you ass face.
Maybe somebody will give you a haircut one day.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, jeez, guys.
Speaking of needing a haircut, our good friend from House Arrest, Mookie Arizona, is in this movie.
He shows up.
But it's just like, it's one of two... He's the way less of this, but notable background actors.
Yep.
Because he's no one who was in House Arrest. But then also in the background of this movie, used for carrying things, sexy dancing, and kissing a boy in the credits, is Jessica Alba.
Real weird.
Real, real weird. Not a line of dialogue for her. She looks like she's much older than every other person in this movie.
She does look older than,
featured extra. Also... Somebody who has lines, Allison Mack from 88 seasons of Smallville is in this movie.
Now, who did she play in Smallville?
She was like the Willow-esque character, the computer whiz.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. That nobody gave. That show sucked.
I never saw a minute of it.
I saw a couple episodes. In one, the dad from Growing Pains gets fire powers.
No, it's the dad from The Wonder Years.
From Wonder Years, yes.
Whoa!
Dan Gloria gets fire powers?
Yes, he does.
Whoa, I gotta watch this now.
It's actually a pretty good episode.
Under what circumstances?
Like, he's a crooked football coach, and and something.
He gets so angry one day, and he just bursts out into flames.
Are you shitting me?
Well, there's like, it's kind of... At least the first season of that show is a little bit Twin Peaksy. Like the idea that the comet comes that Clark's on affects the town and people get powers. Kind of.
Oh, I see. Oh, so that's kind of an interesting thing.
Yeah, it goes nowhere. but he gets fire powers and he's like, my boys aren't doing the right thing, and he like starts lighting them on fire by accident and then on purpose.
Oh my god, that sounds pretty good.
It's a pretty okay episode of television.
The only thing I really knew about that show was the dude from Sorority Boys plays Lex Luthor.
Michael Rosenbaum.
Right? Yeah, that's right. That's his name.
That is his name.
So what's going on in Camp Nowhere? So we're inviting the parents.
This is what we keep circling around this. The military dad comes first, and... You know, as opposed to just showing a nice military camp, it's like, it's war games, Dad. And like, Andrew Keegan's taking him through the mud. And like, this is when it's at its most Home Alone, because they've set a bunch of traps for him.
Yeah.
Which are bags of flour on rope that keep hitting him in the face. And every it happens like four times.
Just like in the military.
Every time this bag explodes on him, a different blonde-haired kid comes out. I'm not kidding. Goes, yes! There's like four different kids that do this.
And the only way you can tell them apart is like one has a bowl cut, one's got a mullet, the other one's got a rat tail. But they're all shitty, blonde, white kids.
Mm.
Yesing. And like putting their elbow in like, yes! Oh, God, it's sickening. Also, much like the real military... You've got pre-recorded gunfire going off.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, you know to get down.
Mm-hmm. And there's fireworks everywhere.
And so this dad's just like shit in his pants, you know.
Did we say we got chased into that hole?
Yeah, he gets chased into a foxhole.
Yeah, and it's all muddy. It's gross.
And Andrew Keegan is just like, all right, stay here till I come get you. I have to pretend that this is six other different summer camps until I come back.
Yeah, but that's what's the weirdest thing is like, almost every other one has, like, several fucking parents and several kids.
Yes.
This just seems like Keegan and his dad... Like, Keegan was the only kid who was going to military.
Well, he was the bad kid. That's why.
Exactly, yeah.
And so that they had to make a whole camp part for him. One guy.
Yep.
That's how much of an inconvenience he is to these people.
Yeah.
And like he's also like weirdly getting off on torturing his own father because he's like, oh, it's lunchtime. Let me give my dad some fucking food. Liverwurst, he hates that. Oh, also let me rub dirt into it.
Like,
maggot, eat your food.
It's not bad enough. You're giving your father a liverwurst sandwich, dude. You're going to then, before he eats it, go hang on and throw dirt in it?
That's right.
Come on. He hates his father.
That in a bad way, in a violent way, I would say.
Which is weird, though, because like a few minutes before this, you see his emotional side when this like shy girl's all freaking out to be away from home or whatever.
Yep.
And he's like, I'll make you a necklace. Yeah. Then everyone here can have necklaces I make them, and I'll have control over you like a cult leader.
Dude, this kid is going to usurp Mudd and become Christopher Lloyd's lieutenant in the revolution.
Oh. But that's what you need.
You need someone with an energetic personality. Someone will draw people to him.
Someone who's not afraid to take a life if I tell them to.
Charisma and stupidity is a great mix.
Mudd, you're more of the Trotsky of the group.
Then they kill Mudd with ice picks.
That's what they would do if he was Trotsky.
So then we've got...
The only way to live is with Kid Farm, not Animal Farm.
I would love to watch a movie called Kid Farm. I don't even know what it's about. So then it's like acting camp.
Yes,
and
everyone
pretending to put on a production of Annie.
And like the idea is like, oh, it's the last big musical number of tomorrow. And like the parents, there's a bunch of dummies in the audience. So it's like, oh, the audience is all filled up.
Yeah.
You could view it from the side kind of a thing.
Well, the whole scam is to make it look like it's right at the end of Parents' Day. They've all been like they've been telling the parents to show up at one time, and then it's like, oh no, the camp started hours earlier. I guess there was a mix-up.
Oh, the stupid kids gave you the wrong time. Sorry, sorry about that.
And I mean, like every parent, like, and especially like after a play, they're all like, oh, you did so great, and like, oh mom, we have to go do something else. Go in this other room for like an hour. Every parent is like, no, we're going. Either A, we're going out to lunch. I'm going to take you out to lunch. Or B, we're going to the mess hall. I'm going to eat. You know, or I want to see where your room is.
Yeah, we drove 3 hours.
Yes.
And we've been here for 15 minutes.
Bullshit. I don't care what your bullshit clock says. I'm getting some fucking kid time. Because I paid $3,000 for this place, by the by.
And on the drive here, I had to eat at Hardee's.
Oh, that's worse than death.
But... no one acknowledges this at all. It's like, well, all fine. I'm getting ushered back to the car now. Whatever you say, kids who rule this camp.
See you in 3 weeks.
At least, like, some of them want to leave really early or something like that. Like, eventually, this military dad is like, I will see you when I see you. And some of them... That mother, man. This is where the mother's like, oh, you're not wearing a sweater. You're not fat anymore.
She's like, oh, my God, you look so great. And instead of being like, fuck you.
She's like, oh, thanks. Thank you so much, Mom.
Oh, this is really great.
Oh, God. I'm sure don't wish you were dead right now. wish you were. Yeah.
Just by saying this once, the damage isn't done. Thanks for nothing.
Yeah. I'm fine now, by the way. All that abuse before. No. Yeah, that was fine.
So at some point, I don't recall how this is happening, but like Biff and M. Emmett Walsh wind up teaming up.
Well, M. Emmett Walsh is on the trail of fucking Christopher Lloyd for like $33,000 or something like that, right? And he's just going town to town. He goes to the Cheese Whiz factory. He finds a postcard of the summer camp. So he's going around. He's like, hey, did anybody see a lemon gremlin? And, of course, Thomas Wilson's like, oh, that's that guy. Let's go combine forces and unleash hell. Yeah. Oh, that sounds like a good idea. Say, you got any silenced pistols? No need to announce our presence without everyone knowing about it.
This is my last case before I retire. Planning to go down in flames,
You know, I got this rope in the back of the car. I could tie up quite a few people. Quite a few people and put them in the lake.
You know, little kids don't take that much rope to tie up, you know. And spread the wealth with this rope. It'd be a real fun thing for me.
Yeah, you know, I watched a movie called Dick Tracy recently. And you get some cement and you can just put them right in the lake.
This is really like a, you need a madman to hunt a madman.
Yes, exactly. He's got to know how to think like him. You're absolutely right.
Tommy Lee Jones. It's fucking Tommy Lee Jones and Richard Kimble.
I was thinking, have you ever hunted Christopher Lloyd? What's, is he bad?
Oh, bad like what? Like bubonic plague? he's killed hundreds of thousands of people, but that ain't nothing.
So they're like, I guess, just going to go and bust this place is the deal. Because the parents' day is a success.
Yeah, the last one is computer camp, where their ruse here is,
oh,
like,
man, this is the dumbest shit.
Christopher Lloyd brings him into a room with like 5 computers from 1986. And he's like, top of the line, buddy. And he's like, we've got 71 units here. And there's like 6. And he's like, yeah, in all sorts of different rooms you're not going to be able to see. We're doing a little exercise with the U.S. government. And they're like, hacking into national defense secrets.
Yeah, we're getting launch codes.
Well, we get like a map with DEFCON on it and like, scramble the jets, boys.
Don't mind that this doesn't have doors, just curtains.
Yeah, like most computer camps, it's mostly curtains.
By curtains, I mean just a bunch of bed sheets held up with clothespins.
I'm going to say clean. I don't mean clean.
So they're like, oh my God, mom, dad, see you later. And that's, they're all on their way out. They run into it's Peter Scolari and his wife.
Yes.
By the way, a nice little cameo by one Jonathan Frakes in this movie.
Oh, right. He's the dad of like the popular girl who's going to be an actor.
Yeah.
And he comes in as like this aristocratic so-and-so. He's got that Riker beard.
Oh, I mean, he looks like he's about to order a mint julep. Like, he looks like he's about to...
Right. It's a little John blazer. Hammond, yeah. Little Colonel Sanders.
Down in New Orleans and gonna get some guys off.
Yeah, the wind is moving right through those pants.
It's a comfortable pair of pants.
But yeah, so that's a good cameo. But then, they run into M. Emmett Walsh and Biff, and they're just like, we just came from computer camp, and I think they started World War III. And M. Emmett Walsh is like polishing the silencer, just like, No,
these are some bad people back up at that mountain.
You better get out of here. It's going to be a bloodbath.
You see a yellow gremlin up there?
Good.
I don't mind killing straights, but I don't like to do it if I have to. I like everyone involved. Everyone's hands are dirty.
So they go up there and like, it's a weird, we're going to pull back this curtain. And
yes,
all these kids are huddled in the corner of this room celebrating by quietly sipping Diet Cherry Coke.
With Christopher Lloyd, too. Like, give me one of those.
Also, why not? Like, I know you're all dumb kids, but like, why not wait until the cars have left the fucking place?
Yes, yes, like, yes.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Well, just like any 90s kid schemer, Chris Cabin, the hubris is such that they're just, by the time this like big mission is finished, instantly we're celebrating.
I suppose, yeah.
But Lloyd is smart because he sees M. Emmett Walsh and Tom Wilson and immediately ducks down.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then when the police swarm the place, no one can find hide nor hair of Christopher Lloyd.
Long gone. I mean, it's the scumbag move, but it's the move that was planned from the beginning of it all.
You know, Mud, the best trick the devil ever pulled.
Convincing the world he didn't exist.
And he's gone in the wind.
Best trick I ever pulled was creating a safety latch on that door. Doesn't open all the way, but I can get out through the bottom.
Second best trick I ever pulled. Shooting my own foot off a NAM. I was home in a week.
That's the real, the thing is, like, the real thing, the blessing here is that he's trying to disappear instead of being like a blaze of glory.
Oh, yeah. Because
that's the other way this could have gone.
Oh, absolutely. Like, there's tear gas involved. Mm-hmm. There's a structure fire.
I bet
you know.
He would have certain buildings rigged to blow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, like Uncle Duvet.
Exactly. He's got his finger on the button with these kids at all times.
Yep. What did you say there, Mud? Oh, a problem you can't get over, huh? Is anyone going to talk? No? Okay, I'll put this detonator away.
But, you know, so Everyone's like, what in the world was going on here? And they're like, oh, it's a stupid little kid's summer camp, but it was really dangerous. And like, well, that's just silly. Who's the bad adult? And they some stupid kid rats out Christopher Lloyd, and they're like, oh, he's got a shack not too far from here. And Mud runs out, and Christopher Lloyd's like 10 steps ahead of him. He's packing up this gremlin ready to go.
Oh, man. He's getting everything that's not nailed down, and he's putting it in the back of this car.
What's that, Mud? Who talked?
They're number one on my list.
Mud, I need you to bring me his tongue. Here's a Bowie knife.
I mean, he is putting all these boxes in the back of his car as fast as his little legs will take him.
And you know, but that's the thing is, last thing I got to do before I blow this town is to settle up with Mud. He's got all that money.
And he has time to, like, sit down on the steps, like, you know, Mud, in your life, you got to find, you have a crush on a girl or two. And he's, like, putting his arm around him, like, don't worry, I have time for this.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, you're going to fucking soon, the chair.
Yeah.
Your voice will be dropping. You'll find hair places you didn't think they'd be.
By the way, Mud, I overheard what you said to that pretty young girl. You're a horrible, horrible boy. She should never talk to you again.
Have you ever heard the term rail thin? That's what that girl is.
He starts smacking the kid around for that.
But so he's like, oh, you know, what you need to do? Because Mud's like, oh, man, I'm going to be so much trouble. And he's like, yeah, I know, Mud. What you should do in this situation is hide out in the woods for a couple hours. Everyone will think you ran away. Then when you come back, they'll be so glad to see you, they'll forget about the other troubles. And, like,
he's like, that's a great idea. Like, Christopher Lloyd is being dead serious with this advice.
Hey, yeah. Mud, put that gun to my head and flip a coin. See what happens.
He hands him a copy of The Milk and Honey Route.
You know, Mud, I'd be willing to help you find a homeless man that looks enough like you. Dress him up in your clothes, Mud, and throw him off a waterfall.
Nobody has dental records of a little kid, Mud.
And he just goes to take off, and somehow, like, Mud is doing the hiding in the woods thing, by the way. He's just, like, sitting on this log, and our magical pediatrician comes out of nowhere back into the movie, and she's like, what are you doing out here? And he's like, oh, you know, just sitting around. Actually, truth is, the jig is up, and we're all possibly going to jail, and I'm hiding out here. And she's like, yeah, I heard.
It's a pretty good idea, but you should probably go back. And, like, planting that idea in a kid's head is a really dangerous thing.
Also,
what Christopher Lloyd did.
Right.
Well, no, but I mean, what this movie is doing.
Oh, yeah, that's
if you're in trouble, go hide out in the woods.
Run away for 6 hours.
Tell the whole audience of kids that are watching this movie that that's a good idea.
Because at no point is he ever like, you know what? You're right. Pretending to run away was a bad idea.
Yeah, I could have gotten...
It worked out.
It kind of did.
It did work out. I mean, at the end of the day, no one's losing their life in this movie, which is very shocking. So she's like, well, you better go back and eat shit. I guess I'll see you around. And he goes back to the camp, like, ready to turn himself in or whatever. And there is Christopher Lloyd, like, yeah, I kidnapped him and... Yeah, I took all of your money and Bill's money, yes.
What about my money? Oh, it's at Fred's house. Yeah.
Didn't take your money, left that with Fred. But he's admitting to all of these things, like, just ready to get the chair.
Well, he knows that if the best move is to go away in handcuffs with Tom Wilson, because if M. Emmett Walsh gets him, forget about it.
Oh, yeah, they're pulling over for gas, and he's never being seen again. All over a matter of $33,000 for this car.
No, it's like $3,000.
Oh, was it $3,000?
Yeah, it's that little.
Because, like, he never, whatever it is, like, he never...
Made
any payments on this gremlin that he bought. Hey, pay for that gremlin! I watched that again the other day. Hulk Hogan yelling at gremlins.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, gremlins! These people want hot popcorn, cold sodas, and no gremlins in the projection booth.
That's nothing to do with anything.
No, but it's appreciated.
So then Mud is just like, no, innocent drifter.
Yeah.
You know, we won't let you die for our sins. Which also, he definitely has a plan C in the back of that gremlin because you see him pack an already packed bindle.
Yes, he does.
So he's ready to lose that gremlin at some point.
Oh, yeah. Life on the rails. And if that fails, I'm sure he's got a bazooka in there.
Yeah, he's. I mean, he's going to drive the gremlin two times out and then walk it into a river. and then just...
So Mud explains everything. And it's one of those magic movie things where it's like, well, this 14-year-old boy explained it to us, so no charges. Sorry, police department.
Yeah, Tom Wilson's like, everyone drop the charges. Like, no. We're all going to the station and figuring this out.
But yep. Before Mud even, like, chimes in here, Christopher Lloyd was actually telling everyone in the police that, like, he was running a cult.
Yes, he does.
Oh, yeah. It's the first steps toward a good cult. Like, you need to, he's like, I had things that they wanted to hear, and they wanted to hear me say them or whatever.
You know what? I'm sorry. Even if Mud does a heartfelt speech to exonerate you, we're going downtown.
Yep. We're going to have a little talk about
it. I want to hear the rest of this talk you have here.
So, tell us about your cult more.
Right? Yeah, what's with this cult? What were you planning on doing? Kidnapping even more kids?
How many bathtubs of Kool-Aid did you have?
It's fucking really Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene, dude.
Always. Yeah. Always and forever.
Or the sacrament.
Great movie-ish.
Yeah, I would put an ish at the end of that.
Yeah.
Better or worse if it's not found footage?
Better.
Better, right? Yeah.
Better would be if the cult leader did anything in that movie. Like, they set him up as this like malevolent force, and then he just kind of kills himself.
Yeah, but that's the nature of those people. The second you're called out on something, he realizes his time's up.
Yeah.
But that, you want some creepy moments.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that speech he gives to A.J. Bowen like during that interview is pretty awesome.
Oh, no, that's what I mean. After that scene, I'm like, oh shit. And then the movie just goes.
Yeah.
So
anyway, that doesn't happen here to this camp.
Surprisingly.
But yeah, and it's another thing, too, where like the parents are just like, oh, well, why didn't you tell us you didn't want to go to this camp or whatever? Not like, where the fuck is my $3,000?
I'm going to choke that money out of you, kid.
You're going to spend the next 4 summers working this off.
Yes.
This bullshit off. Oh, and as for you, Christopher Lloyd, you get to get in this like nice 1950s convertible you
From
have.
From where?
I think it's his girlfriend.
Yeah, it's got to be the doctor's.
It's got to be, because like a gremlin is not a sexy car to drive off into the sunset with.
Well, it's him. It's him that he's driving.
Yes. She,
her car, which is bullshit. She's in the passenger seat and...
Move over, baby.
Yeah. I'm a man. And in the backseat is Andrew Keegan and his girlfriend. Like, what creepy double date are you going on?
Hey, Mud, just so you know where we are, we're going to drive up to Make Out Ridge.
Me, a 50-year-old man, them, 13 maybe. And we're splaying swaps.
Mud, I can lie to you and tell you we're going to the drive-in, but we're not going to the drive-in, Mud.
They don't show the movies like they used to, so we're not going.
Oh, going to Fuck Palace.
You know, this little place, Mud, outside of town.
It's actually a nice bistro called Fuck Palace.
Lovely girls, Mud. Nice salad bar.
I mean, whatever, but it's like, it's... They drive off into the sunset. Keegan and his girlfriend get out, and like they start making out. There's a lot of like preteen and teen kids making out in this movie.
Towards the end, like there's like 4 of them at the end.
Oh my god, the end of this movie's like Caligula.
Oh,
Caligula.
That's what
the little Caligula.
Dude, the last weekend of summer camp, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing.
That's
right?
Little kid Caligula.
I mean, as we know in Wet Hot American Summer, yeah, that's
Nick Jr.'s Caligula.
Like, it's like watching the cast of All That make out with each other.
It's just not anything anyone wants to see.
No one's getting slimed while the making out is happening, at least.
No.
Because someone's getting slimed in this movie somewhere. Is there sliming in this movie?
No sliming.
You mean gack?
Oh, yeah, gack, excuse me. Either no, there's no gack no either. There should have been some sort of like, ew, a goop bomb. Or...
M. Emmett Walsh or whatever should have gotten a little... gack attack.
Well, that's the other thing is
they pay him off, right?
The kid comes up and he's like, hey, scumbag, how much does Christopher Lloyd owe you? And he's like, well, that, you know, $3,000 or whatever it is. He like pulls it out of his sock and throws it at him. Like, this should do it, you piece of shit.
But the
choke
devil,
on it, fatso.
The devil told me to get his soul as well.
Oh, this is good for me, but the boatman at the River Styx will need a little bit more. Our lord and master's gonna need a little something. Your foot should do, mud.
Oh, man. And, like, he just takes it. And there's a weird thing where he goes, oh, that's this pile of money's a little short.
Yeah, goes, he's like, oh, you're short, little kid.
Yeah, you're short. And then this kid goes, yeah, well, you're a little fat, so deal with it.
Man, Evan Walsh gets fucking told where to go at the end of this movie. And it's
wow,
nowhere
that,
good.
I know I was a terrifying bounty hunter through most of this movie, but that really hurt.
I never hurt anybody, really.
I'll take my less than $3,000 and go home.
I've been called ample before, but never fat. Hey, little kid, why you get off on calling people fat so much? Your girlfriend, then me?
You got a real problem. Takes a lot of balls coming from someone with a haircut like that, kid.
So speaking of lumpy, he makes out with her next.
Because she's finally thin enough for this piece of shit.
But it's weird, this exchange that happens because, like, and this is, like, classic stupid teen stuff, right? Like, Andrew Keegan's making out with this girl, and it's like, see you later, baby. I'm going to go polish my leather jacket. And, like, yeah. He walks away. And then she turns to Mud, and they have this exchange that's like, wow, thanks, Mud. You gave me the best summer ever. You're totally a cool guy. And I don't know, maybe if we were at different points in our lives or whatever, crazy this life of ours. See you around, Mud. And then, like, she turns and walks away. And this kid clearly is, like, checking out her ass, just like, yep. And then from there, turns, and this other girl walks up. And seconds later, they're making out.
It's weird.
And it's like they had made a pact, like, if we're not dating anybody in 50 years, like, we'll date each other or whatever it is. Not 50 years.
Yeah.
Like, if we get to high school and we're not seeing anybody, like, I guess we'll suck it up and date each other. And he's like, yeah, maybe you won't look like human garbage by then. But then she's just like, oh, okay, you think I look like human garbage? And then he's just like, but maybe not.
You're not wearing that sweater anymore.
And they just start making out all over again. And this, we're filming these kids just making out. Weird, wild stuff at the end of Camp Nowhere.
Weird, wacky, wild stuff.
Like, Christopher Lloyd's not even making out with that ex-nun.
I don't think he kisses her once, honestly.
No, he's
totally...
That was
in her contract, by the way. No thanks.
That lecherous creep has to get away from me.
And that's, I mean, it's pretty much it. I don't think there's any, like, or there is some mention about, like, something next summer.
Yeah, there's that, and Peter Scolari is like, you're going to be grounded till you're 30, but I guess I've learned my lesson as your dad now that I'm $3,000 lighter.
Right, always investigate the camps you're sending your kids to. That's the lesson of the film.
And when, you know, an unmarked school bus pulls up early in the morning in front of your house and just picks up your kid.
Yep.
Make sure Freddy Krueger's not driving.
Well,
that's
yeah,
all I'm saying.
An unmarked school bus picks up your kid. The destination is an unmarked grave.
Yes. I mean, you know, I don't think you're wrong.
Oh,
I think that's exactly. It's a one-way ticket.
I mean, I think collectively all those parents are just like, you know what? Turns out none of us looked into any of this.
Mm-hmm.
We had this traveling snake oil salesman come into our house. And was at different points dressed up like an army man, like Richard Simmons, like a computer nerd. And we all fell for it. So it's on
we
us.
We got it.
I'm sorry. At least one parent is pressing charges.
Yes, yes.
The military dad. The military dad.
Or Peter Scolari. I mean, they're like the most protective.
Yes.
And that's just, I mean, that's it. Christopher Lloyd runs off into the sunset with this pediatrician.
Mm-hmm.
No one's doing time. The police aren't asking a single thing.
Well, actually, he probably has at least one big witness on his side because Lumpy's mother was so impressed with how he made her fat fucking daughter skinny that she's probably like, oh no, that man's great. Let him keep doing what he's doing.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Oh yeah, she's the one that's standing up for Christopher Lloyd in court. Bullshit. They should all go rot. Would anybody recommend this movie?
No, it's the worst kind of kid power. I mean, I guess it's kind of fun. It's breezy. It's kind of crazy.
It's a quick, like, 80-some-odd minutes.
It's a light recommend, I think.
I would actually, yeah, light recommend it. I had, you know, the thing is, this is one of the rare movies we actually watched together.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. First time in a long time.
Yeah, and I was convinced I had never seen this movie before until, the end when they're doing the camp switcheroos.
Oh, then you realize, seen this?
And, you know, it's kind of fun. It's not good by any stretch, but you know, it's just dumb. Yeah, dumb fun.
I mean, I have to. I watched this movie a bunch when I was a kid, that I have to kind of allow it its due. It's not good, as Eric said, but you know, it's fine. It's quick.
Yeah, I'd kind of recommend this as a sitting around. You know, if it's raining outside in the summer, watch Camp Nowhere.
If you're a fat kid, summer, pray for rain. There you go.
They do have that rainy day scene. They do. That everyone's bummed the fuck out.
It rains once during their summer here, and everybody's ready to commit suicide.
I mean, I didn't go to summer camp, so I wouldn't have gone anyway. But if I'm there, I'm the kid that's hogging the Super Nintendo the whole time.
Oh, that's the one thing that's weird is you don't see anybody playing video games in this movie.
You do see a Nintendo at one point.
Yeah, like do you?
The twins are doing it, but they're like hacking into
something. They're like setting up the computer camp and someone has a Nintendo there. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but no one's like sitting around like, let's play Donkey Kong.
They watch 90210 on a tiny television at some point.
Oh, that's right, because like the actress girl says like she never misses an episode or something.
Yeah.
Whatever. Again, whatever. She also, in her, like, come to Parents Day to the drama camp letter, she says that she got cast in a movie being directed by Steven Spielberg's niece or something. And the parents are like, well, that's pretty good.
You know, I just realized something. They do that scene to watch 90210, and then they lament that they don't have cable when it's raining.
Yeah.
I guess Fox, they could get it off of bunny ears.
Yeah,
maybe.
That's true. Around. But you never see them watching that big 61-inch TV.
Never. Not once.
They buy it. That's just like kids. Just buying a bunch of shit and never taking it out of the box, I feel, is the problem
there. Just spending their parents' money. Dude, I'd be so mad if my kid fucking fleeced $3,000 out of me.
Oh, you're like, my kid would never do anything ever again.
No.
You're going to sit home and play those video games.
I'm one of those parents, and I get there, and I saw what was going on. I'm loading that 60-inch TV up in the car.
Oh, yep, totally.
Oh, I paid for it.
Yep.
I paid for it.
That's my $3,000. Pardon me.
That's Camp Nowhere, directed by Jonathan Prince. If you want to get a hold of us, check out our website, whmpodcast.com, or find us on sideshownetwork.tv. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We're at WHMPodcast. And right into the mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Any crazy summer camp stories?
Yes, please.
Yeah, from four people who never went to a summer camp, let us hear it. weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Rate and review the show in iTunes. We would greatly appreciate it. And, all right, clue for next week's installment of SBE 2015.
Alan Cumming,
everybody. Once an X-Man and Josie and the Pussycat villain, Alan Cumming. So until next week, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Chris Gabin.
Eric Siska.
Steven Zeta.
Take it easy.